time for another visit with Dr. Ken Kronhaus here on Good Day Health, a way for you to bring yourself up to date on some of the medical news that's out in the journals. Ken interprets a lot of the info, headlines, then I'll ask him some questions as to how these things may impact you. One of the things we'll talk about is how to protect yourself from the cold, because many people listening to this program at this moment are going through some really chilly experiences. So we'll get to that. A lot of other things about what's going on in your body. I want to discuss the difference from Ken's perspective of viruses versus bacteria, all that good stuff. Let's start with, however, Ken, a couple of items that are in the trades this week, the journals of medicine, including a question for you because you're a cardiologist. Ken practices at Lake Cardiology down in Mondura, Florida, has been there for decades, a highly respected and regarded not only physician in Florida but all around the country. The American Medical Association, American Heart Association recognizes Ken for his work and his research. So in terms of whether men or women, you know, the old business about men are stronger, women are stronger, who's the weaker sex, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of women are now having heart attacks because they've gotten into the workplace over the past, 20, 30 years. And so the theory that I remember hearing was that women are acting more like men and behaving in the workplace like men, so they're subject to the stress of the workplace. Therefore, they are suffering more heart attacks than used to be the case. Is that true? What does this study find?
Well, I think that women's greatest risk to good health has always been their heart. You know, they think it's their breast, but it's seven times more their heart. If you accumulate all the causes of death and disease for women, it doesn't even come close to heart disease. And right. Women now have more heart disease than men. And probably it's because they caught up with men in the smoking department. But what we learned this week, the news is that past research, Doug, has shown that women with coronary artery disease, they're more likely to demonstrate a reduction in blood flow to the heart with mental stress than men. The reduction in blood flow, it can lead to fatal heart complications. And this new study out of arteriosclerosis, thrombosis, and vascular biology, say that three times quick.
Yeah.
This new study, it uncovers a reason for why all this occurs. Apparently, when under psychological stress, women are more prone than men to having their blood vessels constrict. And we cardiologists, Doug, need to focus on not only how the heart responds to physical stress, but also how it responds to mental stress. Get out and walk. Exercise, find an app that teaches relaxation techniques, meditate, or if you need to, go see a mental health professional. This is personalized. Whatever works for you to reduce your mental stress, do it and enjoy and just find a way to do some activity.
You can feel it. You can, when you are, whether you're a man or a woman, at least in my experience, I can feel my body come down when I take a deep breath. Put your hands up, take a few deep breaths, maybe you do a little stretching, things like that. That is a way, for me, I find it very, well, going to movies.
That has always worked well for you.
Yeah, it has, actually. It has worked quite. So women doing the same thing. I was very disturbed to hear you say that women are catching up to men in smoking, but then thinking about what you see outside a high school or a college campus, more
they
young women are
have.
Smoking than men, or by far. Women are with young women, kids. They think it's cool, or they think that it's a good way to keep themselves thin, or whatever the hell they think. It's all stupidity, but that's what they think. Can you imagine doing what, if you only knew, and this is the thing that bothers me about what's taught in health education in high schools. This should be the number one thing that they focus on. What do you do to your body, whether it's drugs or alcohol or tobacco? What happens to your body? And this is the vulnerable age. This is when they start doing it. So why isn't this taught more in schools? Why don't they bring people like you in who are experts to teach to these high school kids what happens? Show them a burnt lung from somebody who smoked all their lives, or what a heart looks like, it's full of fat. You know, all of these things that are very practical that you could easily teach and others like you. Why isn't this going on in the public schools?
Well, we need good role models, and this is part of why I'm with you doing this. And I have had high school students in the office, let them see what goes on, and anytime they want to talk to me, I'm available.
All right. How many women, let's take your patient load and in a percentage basis, more women or men? What do you see? Men or more women?
I see both.
But equally?
Yes, easily.
Really? Huh. Has that always been the case in the 30 years you've been there?
Yes.
Really? I would have thought there'd been more men earlier on anyway than women when it comes to having cardiovascular heart problems.
For men, it starts earlier, but women catch up. And women now exceed men regarding heart disease.
Wow. Because they live longer?
It's hard to know. Their vessels, their coronaries are different. They're more sensitive to mental stress, is what we just talked about.
Yeah.
And they're smaller. And also, often, they're just misdiagnosed. Women, the chest discomfort that men get, you know, the holiday heart attack, the elephant sitting on the chest with the guy walking up the hill and the sweat dripping off his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
The women equivalent is fatigue, unexplained exhaustion, and there's just no reason for it. So a chest pain for a guy is equivalent to severe or just a little bit of fatigue that's unexplained. And it's totally upside down the common symptoms. Women present with heart attacks most commonly with fatigue, then shortness of breath, and chest discomfort. Men just the other way, chest discomfort, shortness of breath, and fatigue. So for so long, we didn't understand this, and a lot of illness in the heart was misdiagnosed with women. Now we know that women get their symptoms a bit differently. It's not as classic as the men.
All right. In a few moments, Ken has some important information for those of you who have pacemakers, defibrillators, that sort of thing, with some information that's out this week. So stay tuned for his explanation of why you got to be careful if you have a pacemaker or a defibrillator. Right now, though, some advice from doctors up and down across all America is talking about how important it is to have fish oil and krill oil in your system. You get older, your joints are a problem, brain doesn't have the performance that it used to because the cardiovascular system isn't working to get the blood to your brain, to your muscles, all over your body. So you need extra nutritional support, and diet alone may not, for many of you, if not most of you, be enough. That's where Krill Omega 50 Plus comes in. It delivers, the Krill Omega 50 Plus delivers on a whole bunch of fronts. Krill oil has been heralded for its unique ability to deal with aches, if you will, the joint problems you may have, and then the other things that go. It's the EPA, as I understand it, Ken, and DHA properties that get into, you have to put them into your system, they're absorbed, and that's why this is so good for your joints, the cartilage around your joints, that kind of thing. So now we've got krill oil explained. What about fish oil? Well, again, fish oil is great for your circulation. It's great for your heart. Get your blood up to your head, to your muscles, all over the place. So this is boosting your joint comfort and boosting your cardiovascular health in certain specific ways. That's what you get with Krill Omega 50 Plus because it has both krill oil and fish oil in it. The properties are easy to understand as I explain them here. Krill oil for your joints and the ultra pure fish oil for your heart. One small pill, that's it. From Purity Products, the product that all of these people who are concerned now, they see this and they go, I got to get some of this. Well, you can get your first bottle free. The Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10 is available now at the other end of 800-355-1493. So don't fall into a hole. Don't have your body fall apart. Make sure you're feeding it well. 800-355-1493. This is food. The fish oil, the krill oil is food, and it's yours for the asking. Just pay a small shipping charge, and that's it. Free bottle, so you can feel and see and sense how well it'll work for you, and then you'll keep taking it every day like I do. 800-355-1493. You can go to the bottom of the DJV page or the Good Day Health Show page. You'll see the banner ad for the Purity Omega 50 Plus, the Krill Omega 50 Plus. So click on that, and it'll give you the number as well. Can't remember it. It's 800-355-1493 for your free bottle. Okay, so let's get to this the information for people who have pacemakers, there's a Freudian slip, a peaceful pacemaker, defibrillators, that kind of stuff. The MRI now can be used because I think in the past, I remember my father had a defibrillator when he had his problems with, as you say, what goes on in your heart is like a bag of worms. Isn't that how you describe
atrial fibrillation?
What goes on with, yeah. So anyway, what's this scan all about?
This is big news, especially for people who are in medicine and people who have these devices that control the electrical system of the heart, the pacemaker, which is the spark, which keeps the heart beating, and the defibrillator, which stops the bottom of the heart from beating too rapidly. So good news for people with pacemakers and defibrillators and the doctors who treat them. Gosh, it's a lot of my time, Doug. MRI scans, they're safe for patients with older devices, even if the MRI is focusing on the chest area. That's the news. And this is a new study in the New England Journal of Medicine, and that's a big deal. It confirms that pretty much anybody who has a pacemaker or an implanted defibrillator can, with very few restrictions, safely get an MRI scan if they need it, as long as the devices are properly adjusted before the scan and safeguards are in place. The study comes out of Johns Hopkins. It's a big deal. It's going to change how we proceed. And the insurers have not yet caught up because they only cover MRIs for very specialized pacemakers that are already made to handle an MRI. But this study is saying that all of them in a center that knows how to reprogram temporarily your device under the MRI, it's okay. So talk to your doctors about this. Big deal.
What do you feel, again, back to your patients, what percentage of your patients have either pacemakers or defibrillators?
5 to 10%.
They do. And it's all brought about because the heart is off its stroke.
It's because we're keeping people alive longer. And the electrical system then begins to fail.
Fixes their electrical system in their
heart.
They
need a new battery, a new spark.
All right. Got it. So that's important information. Dr. Ken has a very special way of dealing with people. And you can tell that by listening to him on the radio. So if you'd like to have the opportunity, if you're local down there, that's swell. If you're from the state of Florida, great, easy to get to Orlando where Ken is, and then maybe the Southeast. But people are coming to Ken from all over the country, if not all over the world, because they hear. We get emails from people in the Middle East, in the down in Central America, South America, who listen to this and pick up the tidbits of information that are necessary to keep you focused on your health. So if you happen to have had some kind of diagnosis that doesn't set well with you, or you want to have Ken tell you the whys and wherefores of what's going on in your body, then what you should do is call the office number, which is 352-735-1400, and arrange for a trip down there. See Ken, spend some time in the office, figure out what's going on in your body. It's your responsibility. Ken will be happy to help you with your responsibility in a way that is not like anything you'll experience in any other doctor's office. So give him a buzz, 352-735-1400. I noticed that a number of hospitals are being cited by the feds for having a high rate of patient infections and injuries. There were 751 hospitals around the country cited in this report, and I wonder what the penalties are. I know my own local hospital in Framingham had a very high percentage, and that's just because of bad management. That's all that is, isn't it? I mean, we can get right down to brass tacks. It's interesting, like Mass Eye and Ear Infirmary was cited. Some of the bigger hospitals, although you expect it maybe from these little medical centers or some of the little general hospitals that may not be as, and I don't know why I say this, maybe it's not fair, Ken, to suggest that the smaller hospitals are not run as well as the bigger hospitals, but when you see something like the Mass Eye and Ear Infirmary on this list, it's got to shake you to your boots.
Yeah, the rubber meets the road on a list like this. It takes away the PR, and you deal in facts. And these are based on reviews of charts and just falling out of the norms. And, you know, they're very controversial because the response from a facility like you've just mentioned, they will say they take care of much more complicated patients. They take care of the patients that others don't want to take care of, and it's hard to do these evaluations. These things are very controversial.
So what's the fix?
The fix is we I think it's a good idea that we do this, and it keeps us all on our toes. And the fix is just treating everybody like you want to be treated and make sure we do the best job we can.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get some advice for people who are in the the country is three quarters under snow watch, cold like you wouldn't believe, all the way across Minneapolis, Dubuque, Peoria, Indianapolis, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Watertown, New York, all the way across through New England. Temperatures are below 15 most everywhere. Zero is common. Wind chill factor is 20 below.
Ouch.
And it's going to stay this way for the next 4 or 5 days, apparently. And so I wonder what advice you have for people. In reality, the fresh air, the cold air is good for you. So what do you advise?
Hop on a flight to Orlando.
Okay, well, that's good advice. Planes are all full going in that direction, that's for sure. But if you're out in the cold,
just stay bundled up. Remember, you lose most of your temperature from the neck, the hands, the feet, the scalp. Those are the places you really want to keep covered up, and you'll do okay.
Wind chills 35 below zero, some places in the Northeast. So bundle up or don't go outside. Maybe that's the bottom line. So there's so many different directions here. We were talking about staying healthy in the season that we're in. It's very cold. Keep yourself bundled up. I wanted to ask your perspective on or some sort of informational opening so people get what the difference is between a virus and a bacteria. Bacteria are living things, and I've never really quite been sure about viruses, whether they were. How do you distinguish for people in a simple way the difference between bacteria and viruses and the things they may do to your body or cause your body to feel?
And I would be glad to talk about that, but I just want to, for a moment, give a professional opinion and just tell you that, you know, I've been listening to your voice for so many years, and it sounds crystal clear this week, and you must be doing something.
I am. I have that. Well, we've talked about this. I'll go down this side street with you for a minute. I'm very open. I don't like people to know about my private life, but personal stuff, like what's going on with my health, I am happy to make myself a guinea pig because I think people learn from whatever our experiences are if we share them. And I try to take good care of myself, eat well. I'm a little bit overweight because at this time of year, I just eat too many things that are not necessarily good, but they're yummy. Cookies, cake, that kind of stuff. I really, though, have sworn off of the ice cream a lot. I hardly ever, and this really hurts because I love ice cream, but I don't have much ice cream anymore. I've had plenty of cookies and cakes and things, though, during the season. And you advise me, as you went through the whole thing of losing the weight, it's important for you to keep your weight in the realm of what is optimally your best health. There's a range. You can see a BMI, body mass index chart. Most doctor's offices tell you where you should be. I should be about 10 or 12 pounds lighter than I am. And it's interesting because I don't know that I've ever said to you, because I have more muscle than the average person, certainly my age, but I have more muscle than the average person, period. So in this, as a matter of fact, I went to a clinic the other day to get a facial, because I like every once in a while, I gave myself a Christmas present of a facial. I just feel good when I think everything's cleaned up. And in this same facility, they offer fat freezing. And I hadn't even heard of fat freezing before. So I said to the lady, what is fat freezing? And she said, it's a way for people to lose the weight. It's another technique. It's kind of like liposuction, only they freeze the fat and it just naturally goes out of your body. And so under the circumstances, I thought, okay, well, look at my belly and tell me if I'm a candidate. And she said, no, you're not a candidate. You couldn't do this because you have too much muscle there and the fat's behind the muscle. In order for this to work, the fat has to be in front of the muscle for it to freeze and get out of your system. So it doesn't work. And so I found that interesting in that there are a lot of people who will try to take the quick way.
Boy, how did we get there from inhalers?
Well, I was going, because we're talking about my health and well-being, and I was telling you this story as to how I looked at something like this as to whether it was practical or not. And, you know, this is another one of the pages of my medical reality. The other thing that Ken's talking about, I have had a bad cough and some kind of infection in my body for a year.
Yeah, that's what's called a chronic cough. Goes on for more than 12 weeks.
Right. And so I'm trying to get to the bottom of it now because I'm tired of it. And every once in a while it develops into this full-blown bronchial thing, and I cough, and it really hurts. And so getting to the bottom of it means going to a pulmonologist and having him examine me, x-rays, my history medically. And I have a bronchial thing that I've had since I was a kid. And so the doctor said to me that this is basically a secondhand smoke issue, and you said that to me as well. And so we've, by process of elimination, in order to find out what the cough is, he's put me on various medications, and I got onto an inhaler. I don't know what the stuff is that's in it, but I started it 4 or 5 days ago, and I can see a marked difference. I'm not coughing as much. Yeah. My voice is clearer. I was getting, I had, it wasn't a congestion, but my voice sounded rough.
You have an inhaler that opens up the airways. It's called a bronchodilator. And also It's an inhaled steroid, so it doesn't get into the body. You know, you won't become like one of those big baseball players, but it'll just stay directly in the airways, so it won't cause any systemic, any further body effects. So it's really working well. It's good for people who have either chronic bronchitis or a little bit of asthma. Either one, it's working, and the lung doctor will help you. You know, you get a cough for more than 8 weeks, it's beginning to be a chronic cough, and yours has been for probably 8 years.
Yeah, right. All right, so
let's talk about bacteria and viruses.
We went to that, and that's where you asked me what was going on, and that was in the beginning of my question about viruses versus bacteria. From your perspective, what's the difference?
Sure. Great question. Bacteria, they are single-cell organisms, and they can thrive in many different environments in the body, in the intestines, in the lungs. They cause things like strep throat, tuberculosis, urinary tract infections. And viruses are different. Viruses are much smaller than bacteria, and they have to invade the cell to survive. And then they take over the machinery of the cell. They cause things like chickenpox, AIDS, common colds. So these are both bugs, very different, and they affect the body in different ways.
All right. So let's talk about the effects. Bacteria versus virus. What do you get if you have a virus? What do you get if you have bacteria? Well, because there's a lot of good bacteria in your body. I don't know of any good viruses. Do you know of any? Is there such thing as a good virus?
That I'm not aware. There might be, but usually the viruses are pretty nasty, some more than others. But the end result was what I mentioned, the bacteria, things like strep throat, tuberculosis, urinary tract infections, and viruses, common examples, chickenpox, AIDS, common colds, cold sores, pretty common things.
Yeah. All right. And warning against them, you still like, even though you said earlier on, flu shots, not much good this year because it's the wrong flu stuff.
Well, you're dealing with the Australia news, and I don't know if this is going to be the same as Australia. And I opted for one, and
And I didn't.
Deja vu.
Well, but I do. I mean, we've been talking about this for all the years I've known you. I've never gotten a flu shot, but I work on my immune system, which brings me around to...
Well, I just feel, you know, I'm among...
A lot of people are sick.
And I have a responsibility not to make them sick.
Right. Yeah. So you do everything you can, take every precaution. So should all good doctors be getting a flu shot?
In my humble opinion, you know, I don't want to tell my colleagues what to do, but, you know, I'm just setting my own example.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's talk about how you enhance your immune system from the point of view of what you ingest into your body. You all hear Dr. Ken and many other doctors say you got to eat your fruits and vegetables. That's what your mother was telling you when you were a kid. And maybe there are people who are still saying the same thing to you now, and they are smart. They are right. You do need, Ken's always saying, it's much better to eat than to take supplementation. Eat the foods. But who eats 9 servings of ripened fruits a day and 11 servings of vegetables a day? I don't know anybody who does that. Do you, Ken? Anybody
Absolutely
you know in your
not.
Circle? I don't know anybody who does that. So that's where the folks from Balance of Nature come in with their plan to boost your immune system 700% in 7 days by getting onto their fruits and vegetable capsules. Yes, they have a fruit capsule. They have a veggie capsule. Comes in a container enough for a month, and each one of them, take one in the morning of each and one in the evening of each, and you're really going to give your immune system a boost, a belt, a jolt, which is what you want this time of year especially. So if you go online to balanceofnature.com, use the code DJV for special discounts and actually for a free month supply, use that code DJV. This is a fabulous way for you. I take them every day. Even though I had to pay for them because they're advertised, they give me this stuff. But I would pay for them because I understand the benefit. You need food to keep your body as healthy as possible, and the immune system needs to be charged up to the pluperfect degree at this time of year. So Balance of Nature fruits and veggies will boost your immune system. They provide a health coach, too, if you want to ask questions of the coach about what's going on or how you can enhance your overall feelings of health. You can go online to balanceofnature.com, use the code DJV, and get a free month supply of these capsules. Balanceofnature.com, up the immune system the natural way. Balanceofnature.com, promo code DJV. The use of marijuana among pregnant women is up. What in the world are these women thinking? What happens? This is a warning, I guess. Can you take it from here as to how stupid it is for anybody to drink alcohol, smoke anything, never mind marijuana, right?
This is really sad. And I
That's
think
stupid.
I'm trying to be polite.
I know you are. I'm not. Go ahead.
This is really, really sad. And I think it has to do with the fact that our youth hear that marijuana is now legal for medical reasons and in many places for recreation. And so, therefore, it must be okay. And you get millennials who are thinking that even during pregnancy, it's okay. This is wacky. And to even do it when you're not pregnant, but to do it when you're pregnant is just beyond belief.
Yeah, really. It just don't.
It will permanently damage your offspring.
Oh, awful.
Forever.
Okay. So New Year's coming up. New Year's resolutions. New Year's health resolutions. Do you ever make any on your own? Do your clients, your patients ever ask you, okay, Ken, what should I do for the new year? What should the average person be thinking about with regard to his or her health as the new year approaches and begins?
Well, what week of the year is the busiest week in the gyms throughout the country?
Right after New Year's.
Absolutely.
Right after the holidays.
You go to your local gym in the first 2 weeks of January and you're elbow to elbow with everybody. And then by the end of February, it thins out again. And I see this year after year after year, because right after the New Year's, everyone's making their New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to eat healthy. And it lasts for a couple of months and it goes away. Talk to any trainer and they will tell you the exact same thing.
Yep. Well, I think there's that. And you see people and they seem to have there's a quickness in my step after I've exercised. Do you ever feel that when you've exercised?
Oh, I feel energized. It's counterintuitive. You think you'd be tired out. And, you know, I leave the gym faster than I enter.
Yeah. Now, speaking of exercise and the gym, we have a moment to discuss something that I saw in one of the journals or a review of something about how exercise will cut down or cut back on the progression of Parkinson's disease. And I would wonder why that might be.
Well, Parkinson's disease is a muscular, it's a so-called motor abnormality due to the neurochemistry of the brain being deficient. And the feeling is that the exercises stimulate the parts of the brain that are deficient to start
get
making
blood
these
in there.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
Blood. Get the blood up in there.
Exactly.
That's what you're really doing. Get the blood up in there. All right,
exercise,
more good advice.
Is fantastic throughout the body.
Super. Yep, it's a real clever way of taking care of yourself. This is some interesting news for those people who take a daily walk. It seems that should be encouraged and then some.
Absolutely. A report this week from UCLA reveals that adults dug over the age of 60 with memory issues, they may be able to better focus and process information if they walk more than 4,000 steps per day. Those who walk more than 4,000 steps each day have thicker areas of the brain known to be critical to thought processing. So get those Fitbit outs and start accumulating those steps.
Do you have a Fitbit?
I do.
How many steps a day in your practice? What do you have? What's the average day for you in terms of how many steps?
We all try to get at least 10,000.
You walk around your office taking 10,000 steps.
I make an effort to walk, and we get them.
Really? And do you encourage this? Do you have regular meetings with your staff at your clinic? You've got about 20 people on your staff there, right? So do you talk to them about their own health needs? Do you encourage them to do as you do and as you say?
This may sound horrible, but I just walk around as a good role model.
No, I'm sure they pay attention to you. I know your staff from having been there a dozen times. They love you, and they would pay attention to you.
They are all into physical fitness now, and, you know, I don't want to say it again, but it's my favorite drug.
Yeah, I know you love exercising now. I don't find it that intriguing. I find it boring, but
We have to exercise together. You have to find something you like to do.
When I come down next month, we'll go.
That would be
instead
fun.
Of going out to dinner, we'll go to the gym.
Bring your shorts.
Bring my stuff. I will bring my shorts.
That'd be great.
All right. Speaking of the brain, there's some new information about what helps your memory that would be good for all of us who have to or like to read.
This is a study that comes from our friends up north in Canada. This new Canadian study, published this week in the journal Memory, Doug, we are more likely to remember something if we read it out loud. It seems that the dual action of speaking and hearing yourself speak helps the brain to store the information so that it becomes long-term memory. So if you're studying for finals, you may just want to read it out loud.
Really? Reading out loud will help you remember it, rather than reading it to yourself. You know, I used to do that when I was studying for exams, and I sometimes now still do it. I don't do it when I'm on the plane if I'm reading, but if I'm by myself in bed and I'm reading, I usually read aloud. I didn't really actually put these two things together, but it does make sense because there's two ways you're using two senses, the auditory and the visual. So there's two ways of you putting that same information into your brain. Makes nothing but sense, actually.
Thank you, Canada.
Yes. Thank you, Canada. Thank you, Dr. Ken. All right. As long as we're in the brain game here, there's another study about fish and what that does. Fish oil for your brain, youngsters especially.
Exactly. Doug, a good night's sleep and a higher IQ could be achieved by eating fish at least once per week for children at least. This was a study in children aged 9 to 11 who ate fish at least once weekly. They had higher IQ test scores and better sleep quality compared to children who consumed fish less frequently. Mm-hmm. They raised their IQ 5 points. This was reported this week in Scientific Reports.
All right, so at what age should a child start taking a fish supplement? Because there are a lot of people, you know, fish we all know, go get some salmon, some good whatever Arctic fish that you can find. That's where the best oils are. But let's say you don't eat a lot of it. Can a child take fish oil as a supplement?
Well, I may be a heretic here, but I'm going to recommend the child try to eat the real thing. Eat the fish.
All right. So let's then fast forward to adults and help people understand why putting fish oil and krill oil together is a good idea. You've heard me talking about this. Ken talks about fish oil, the omegas, all the time. So here comes Purity Products that has this new product that combines fish oil and krill oil, Krill Omega 50 Plus with CoQ10. You can try a free bottle now by calling 800-355-1493. Yep, a free bottle, 50 of them in the Krill Omega 50 Plus, 50 capsules, 800-355-1493. Pay the shipping, and you get the bottle free.